Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Oh, hi. If you like this show, will you leave a review for it wherever you listen to podcasts? You don't even have to write anything, just some stars will do. It's one of the most effective ways to spread the word about us and one of the most meaningful ways to show your support for what we do. We are so grateful. Okay, here's the show.
Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. To share your thoughts on this episode or anything really, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at A Thing or Two HQ.
And join our Geneva.
So much more. We have a reveal today.
We've narrowed down the list of potential fan names.
So we're going to give people the semifinalists and then we're going to decide what the finalists are.
Congratulations to us for drawing this out in a totally unnecessarily lengthy and disorganized manner.
It's just like award season where you're like, Wait, what week? What are we doing right now?
Yeah.
We're doing SAG awards. Mm-hmm. And which ones matter and which ones?
I would
are
say we're at the Golden Globes at this point.
Yes.
We're at the Golden Globes.
Exactly right.
This is the Golden Globes of fan names.
I think that's
nominees.
Nominees. There are also too many. And you're like, oh, this is fan names in the humor category.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Comedy or musical. Yeah.
All right. This was a new one as of last week. Thingerettes.
Okay.
Thingers. Mm-hmm. Thingy Mabobs, mm-hmm. Thingy Majigs, mm-hmm. Looney Toonies, mm-hmm. Thingles.
Thingles, we're going with, or Thingles?
Thingles. Yeah, I guess probably Thingles.
It's going to be a pronunciation. It's the Glossier Glossier, you know, conundrum, not a Porter problem.
Yeah, no, totally.
Okay.
Thingaristas.
The thing I thought of this morning in the shower that's a terrible one, by the way.
No,
is two timers.
Oh, that's good.
But it's, I mean,
I liked the ones that were playing on twos. I have a fondness for Looney Toonies.
Yeah, okay. So to narrow this down, I think
two timers is pretty good.
Do you think so?
I mean, the thing is that I think from a business strategy perspective, we should probably lean into the thing.
Yeah.
Of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But that's hard for me because I also, as I said, I really like Looney Toonies. And I guess the thing is Looney Toonies, because you all aren't looking at our notes, it's spelled T-W-O-N-I-E-S.
Also challenging.
I also liked the idea of abbreviating it to LTs, but we would get so many DMs from people because we still get so many DMs of people saying, what is RWI, even though we put it in the Instagram bio.
Even though we have done the work, which is putting it in the Instagram bio.
We've done
incredibly
the work.
Worth it. That's the work. I do think the spelling thing becomes an issue.
Yes, I
do
agree. I agree about that.
I guess.
But you know, if we do two timers, I'm going to have to call it TTs because that's so cute. And we're into nimming around here.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I think maybe a late
late edition. We'll add it to the,
you know, it's been screened on one theater the day before Christmas in order to qualify.
It's not up to us. It's up to the fans.
Okay,
so we'll add it, you know, and we'll see how they respond.
Okay. So I think, as a result, we should keep Looney Toonies, mm-hmm. and two timers.
Yeah.
I do sort of like singles because I also think it would allow you to sing the living single song again.
Oh, God, a throwback to a previous era.
So I think that would be
like living single. Yeah, in a 90s kind of world. Yeah, I'm glad I got my girls.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, yeah. I'm glad I got my girls feels really like relevant here.
Totally, totally.
I do think that thingamajigs or thingamabobs, between those two, what do you think?
I really got to meditate. I think because it's thingamabobs is cute. Why do I need
people bobs?
Exactly. That's yeah. So cute.
Okay. Okay. Let's do that. I think those are the four for me.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
I like an option that uses thing rather than thingy. I couldn't tell you why.
Uh-huh.
Because the thingy thing is.
Thingles.
Yeah. Okay. Thingles. Yeah. Thingles. Yeah. Singles. The problem is I don't actually have strong feel. I think thingamabobs is probably honestly the best if I had to say right now.
Okay.
Fingerettes is quite feminized and I want to make space for all genders.
I just keep thinking of cigarettes.
Fingerettes. Yeah. Fingerettes.
And I don't think we should be doing free cigarette ads on the show.
No, total. We would not want to lead anybody to a smoking habit, to a nicotine habit. I think I feel pretty good about how you
narrowed it down. So those are our four.
Thingamabobs, Looney Tunies, Two Timers, and Thingles.
Yeah. So now we are going to post for people to vote.
Yeah, on our Instagram.
And then we are going to take those results into consideration when we decide.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to post this on our Instagram after we've aired this episode.
Exactly. We're just doing the social strategy live so everybody gets to experience it.
Now you all know how the sausage is made. Okay. All right, I'm on board with this plan.
I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I'm also loving that we have an incredible thingies guest today.
Oh my gosh, the best.
Who is perhaps better at this strategy than we are.
Oh, for sure she is. We should be paying her to do this.
Oh my God.
If we took ourselves seriously.
Emily Sundberg, she is the brain behind the quote, hottest business newsletter.
Was that your quote?
No, hers. Oh, but I think it's great.
Okay,
I think
yeah.
it's perfect.
The hottest
I think
business newsletter.
Absolutely encapsulates Feed Me. It is the business newsletter that we look to and that just like keeps us up on what is happening. She developed the first Instagram strategy for The Cut. She's worked with brands like Julie, The Six Bells, and Row 7, which just feels like that I felt like was a perfect mix for me of like, yep, I know exactly what's happening. She has also written absolutely iconic trend spotting stories that you have read, like Welcome to the Shop and Hot Girls Drink Whole Milk stories for New York Magazine.
Deeply important to me because you had started drinking hot milk and I was like, wow, you really got it.
Yeah. Well, I was just so tired of, you know why I started drinking whole milk? It's like the same reason I do so many things.
Because it takes longer to expire?
No, God, that would make perfect sense. No, it just, everything else felt so much more challenging and irritating to ask for, to explain, to know what brand they were carrying.
Right, because you never know what you're going to get if you're asking
for almond milk or soy milk. I'm like, it could be any number of things.
No, that's true.
And whole milk, I pretty much know what that's going to taste like.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, Emily Sundberg caught on to this. She's just very, very good at trend spotting and sort of understanding what niche sort of cultural moment has larger significance.
And like having fun with all of this.
Yes. She has hot takes. She has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Let's bring her on.
Amazing. Emily, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here.
It feels like a long time coming.
Yeah.
Very obvious fit.
You guys have such a professional setup.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. We really have Remy to thank for that. We didn't do much. I feel like when we think about the newsletters that our listeners or our like peers read, it's yours, it's Casey Lewis's After School, and it's Lauren Sherman's Line Sheet. Those are that's the trifecta. Those are the ones.
But you know that I want you to start like your own newsletter empire with Casey, and maybe we have to think about who else. But I'm like, can you guys do
like
that?
Like the Condé Nast of the smart Substack newsletters.
Yeah. Maybe I will. That's a good idea. Somebody's going to do it. I mean, that's sort of what Puck
I think
is
Delia
right
Kai
now, right?
Could be involved.
Oh, that's a good call. Great. The ones that are more essay driven or style driven are important. I love them. They're something. But what you and Casey do, and some other people too, but you and Casey do really well, is understand what news feels relevant and how to summarize it and what
and
feels
frame
like.
It. And like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I met Casey for the first time a few weeks ago. We went to dinner and there was this moment of like the Spider-Man man meme, like, because we had never met before. But
which is
everybody
crazy.
Always says, like, you and Casey. Yeah. And both of us worked in newsrooms before.
Okay.
I worked at New York Magazine after I graduated. She worked at New York Magazine for a little bit. And I think when you're used to that cadence and that way of sort of generating your own headlines and generating your own angles, it's a lot easier to publish every day because yes. you know the news exists. It's mm-hmm. just about doing the work to get up a little bit earlier and turn it into something and have some takes.
Yeah.
The takes. You know what else is good? Public announcement could be in the
mix. I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
They don't
yeah.
include takes though.
Sometimes light takes. Yes. In the caption, sometimes light
yeah.
takes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the other one that I read that feels like, okay, like, what do I need to know?
Yeah. It's fun. And the whole reason that I started it was because I was having these conversations in several group texts. And when I was working at Meta in a few different chat rooms, I had a lot of friends who were founders or were investors or were interested in consumer news. I saw this sort of merging of celebrities all becoming founders and then mm-hmm. founders all becoming celebrities. And people cared about the business that mm-hmm. Karlie Kloss was starting as much as they cared about who Adam Neumann was dating. And I was like, okay, there's an appetite here to sort of approach business news in the same tone as pop culture. But I felt like the skim was talking down to me and sort mm-hmm. of dumbing it down in this very, I mean, they built a great business, but mm-hmm. in a way that I was like, I can't show this to my guy friends and they'll like be impressed by this. Mm-hmm. And then the Wall Street Journal was writing about everything that I wanted to write about, but it was in a way that was a little bit unapproachable or less fun. You couldn't really laugh at it.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't entertaining, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. Or not to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be like, oh, who the hell wrote this? I want to look at their LinkedIn. I want to look where what they do on the weekends. Like, yeah. I want to see who they hang out with. It was like,
and okay, they're not going to make a knowing reference.
No.
No.
And they can't because a lot of these places have advertisers that they can't upset or ruffle feathers, or they have editors who have been doing this for years and years and years who have best practices in mind. But I don't have that, and I don't have advertisers, so I can say whatever with 99% vigilance and confidence, and rarely do I say something that I regret, but it gives me so much more room to play, and that's what people have been responding to.
Do you, and this is different than regret, do you get pushback on some of it?
From my readers?
Yeah.
Definitely from my boyfriend, who when he reads it in the morning sometimes, he's like, Emily, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And then I'll like breathe for a second and then make a decision.
Okay, so he's your proofreader. He's your editor.
When he's home.
He's your sensitivity reader.
When he's home.
He's your sensitivity reader.
I mean, I have some readers sometimes like debate with me. Sometimes it's in the comments. Sometimes it's in my emails. The ones that feel more like criticism of me or my beliefs, I have learned that I'm allowed to just ignore that.
Yeah.
But if I wrote something that was incorrect, I often correct it in the following letter.
Thank you so much to Charles Chocolates for sponsoring today's episode. Wow. Am I excited for us to be partnering with this company. So I love orange chocolate peels. Chris really loves orange chocolate peels. Is that what they're called? Yeah.
I was chocolate like, covered, chocolate covered orange peels.
Chocolate covered orange peels.
You definitely got all the words right. They were just in a different order.
Chris doesn't have a lot of like treats in his life that he really likes. So I get really excited to when I discover a new chocolate covered orange peel to give him because it's always a home run. And I, you know, it feels like a treat I can get for him. So I was at our beloved farm shop in Brentwood Country Mart, and they were featuring these chocolate covered orange peels from Charles Chocolate. So I gave him a spin and man, were they a hit.
This is the thing that a lot of their things are just absolute hits. And I'm so glad that you are such a good farm shop customer, that a Brentwood Country Mart, sometimes regular, that we got to discover them.
I had to go back the next time and buy two boxes because they went so quickly.
This feels exactly right. Okay, so the rundown of this company. Charles Chocolates is a premier artisan chocolate brand handcrafted in small batches in San Francisco to ensure the highest quality. Founded by Chuck Siegel, a self-taught chocolatier with a passion for creating exceptional chocolate confections using only the finest natural ingredients. In addition to all of these wonderful orange peels, some of their other famous creations include, you know, a line of chocolate bars, edible chocolate boxes, which they sent us and are totally insane and
they're
remarkable.
So good.
It's so gifty. Florida Cell caramels and their collection boxes, which include passion fruit, mojito, Meyer lemon, blood orange truffles, espresso caramel chocolates, Visit charleschocolates.com and use the code ATHING15 for 15% off your first purchase. That's charleschocolates.com with the code ATHING15 for 15% off your first purchase.
What are the stories or the topics that your readers are most excited about that they get, like, either whether they, you know, write back to you or they're just clicky?
Yeah, I think I've covered the aesthetics industry, like, as a whole pretty closely, whether that's Ozempic or beauty products or treatments or Botox. And that's been very emotional to see how people respond to that. But it is a huge place where people are spent, specifically women, are spending their money and their time. And it's part of, like, phone culture and selfie culture. But also you walk into a Sephora and there's things that say better than lip injections or better than Botox. You're sort of just immersed in it.
Yeah.
And if you look at the fundraises and the acquisitions that the beauty industry is experiencing over the past year, 2 years, it's super profitable to talk about those things, to market those things. I mean, Ozempic, like, when I write about that, people get so upset. And I'm like, this is one of the most, this
people are upset that it exists. Like, people are upset that.
That's something that people have emailed me and been like, can you please stop writing about this? And I have to say,
but it's a huge booming business.
That's crazy. It's a booming business, and it's one of the most profitable businesses in Europe. Like, it's.
But what bothers, like, they're just sick of reading about it, is what bothers
probably
them
sick of reading about it, or they're defensive. Maybe some of them use it, but a lot of people in my comments will also say, like, I'm on it. I'll tell you what the actual thing is. Like, it ruffles feathers, but I don't mind that because it means that there's dialogue at least.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
It means that I've, like, touched a button. Something I've been writing a lot about is fragrance, which is really interesting.
Which you're also studying.
I took a course on it last semester, which was really, really fun. I took it at FIT, where I went to undergrad, actually. And the class was probably a third people who work in labs and in beauty chemistry already, a third maybe people that used to work in magazines, and then there was just people who are generally curious about the space.
That's cool.
But since I've started writing about it, I've had readers pitch me ideas. I've had readers send me, you know, that they didn't even realize that this was happening. And now they're like, do you want to start a business with me? Obviously, the headlines about fragrance have only increased. So that was a really fun one to cover.
I think it was my mother the other day said something to me about, like, not wanting to buy fragrance online. And I was like, right, of course, that makes sense. And I remember that when we had Of a Kind, we paused before we ever sold fragrance online for this reason, because it was like, how could anybody? What shifted that people are so willing to buy fragrance online now?
So I think one of the first things was the pandemic and people being home and investing in candles and home fragrance. I think everybody remembers, like, that candle boom when everyone was launching a new, like, hotel lobby candles or Montauk Candle Company, whatever it was, just to have something to make your space feel a little bit more elevated. And then fragrance, I think it started with just the mass marketing of beauty. Fragrance is a pretty inexpensive thing to produce. It's alcohol and then a few oils or chemicals to make it smell nice. Often most stuff on the market is synthetic, which people also don't know. And then you put all the money into the packaging and the marketing, and you can tell whatever story you want. So if you are telling a story that people feel like they might be interested in or are told that they should buy into, it's kind of like anything. Like, why would you buy clothes? My mom still doesn't really like buying clothes online because you can't try it on.
Right, but we are
all just, like, pushed that narrative.
Do you think consumers are more familiar with or educated about the language of fragrance now? Like, they know what a sandalwood is?
I think some people are. I know that there's a lot of brands that try, like, sending you the samples and you test them.
Oh,
and
then you get a gift certificate to buy the full size or whatever.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I do have a set of friends who know everything they like, whether it's pistachio or cedar or whatever, and they can say that so quickly. And then I have plenty of friends who don't give a shit about it. I also think that we probably wouldn't be talking about this category that seriously if we weren't in New York. Like, we're surrounded by people who care about these things and talk about them, where if I was to go to my friends on Long Island or my friends who are doctors who live somewhere else, they'd be like, I don't really know what you're talking about. Like, I saw Sol de Janeiro in Sephora. It looked nice. I bought it. It was affordable. Like,
yeah,
they don't even think about how it got there. It's just like, oh, this is a cult beauty product that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just how everybody started using lip masks because they were told lip masks were important. Like,
yes, right. And they were seeing them on their social feeds and they were like, huh, sure.
Exactly. Right. But I think slowly, like, we saw the whole wave of everybody having these tomato-scented fragrances. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not tomato-scented. It's tomato leaf-scented. And it's completely made up because you can't actually derive any scent from a tomato leaf. So it's something that somebody made in a lab and was like, this is a greenish, slightly herbaceous scent, and we're going to call it tomato. And then everybody, Byredo and Flamingo Estate and all these places made it. But that was like an invented marketing moment.
Right.
Which is, once you know all that, like, it kind of makes it fun to actually think about what you like and what you're actually enjoying.
What made you take the fragrance class?
Noticing the boom in the industry. Yeah. And I was like, if I'm going to write about this, I want to understand it. And I don't at all.
I mean, this is what makes you so great, you know?
Well, I also went to FIT and I was like, I know that their continuing education programs are really fun. And they're like $600 for a semester.
Wow. That's a thing really in and good. Of itself.
I was going to say.
Totally.
That's like, can that's they advertise
fun.
With us?
This yeah, is that's really fun. They,
totally.
That's what people should know.
Yeah. And I had friends being like, yeah, I want to do that. And then they were like, oh, it's every single Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And I have to sit in a class.
Yeah, but for how long?
12 weeks.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah.
It is great. Yeah. And it was nice to always have to say no to plans on Wednesdays.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great deal. Like $50.
I encourage everybody to get into a class where you're not allowed to take your phone out for a few hours and you're not allowed to be on a laptop and you're just like, interacting with people that you would not be meeting otherwise
yeah,
of all different
great.
Ages, of all different experience levels, like the range of ages in this group. I think the oldest person was 80. Like,
wow.
It was really nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. What other industries, areas, brands are you excited to watch this year?
I think like hair care will be something that people are investing in more and more. And I think, again, like that's sort of like a manufactured thing, but that's still in the category of beauty.
I mean, I do hear, I continue to hear about hair loss. And we're, you know, Erica's 40, I'm about to turn 40. It's all our
it's a thing. It's it is a genuine thing that is happening to me.
I hear about it constantly from women and men. I was at a 50th birthday party over the weekend and men and women all talking about the hair loss and hair thinning products that they're using very openly.
Yeah.
And honestly, people talking very openly about Botox in a way that I clock, and not just Botox, but everything, Botox, the needles, the fillers, the lasers, in a way that felt to me like a market shift, especially within this particular sort of social crew that I was like, oh, now we're talking about it like it's Advil, like it's there's no shame or anything around it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that whole section of beauty, I'm excited to see how hospitality shifts. I'm noticing more and more hotel groups building hotels and on traditional cities for weekend trips, and people go there for the hotel before the city. Like, I'm going to one of the, do you know the Ash Hotel Group? I'm going to their hotel in Baltimore next weekend because they invited me, but
that's
I have
great.
No idea what the hell to do in Baltimore. And I'm just going because the hotel looks
beautiful.
You're
going to eat crabs.
Yes.
Crab cakes.
A few weeks ago, I went to Lenox, Massachusetts because somebody who I went to school with runs marketing at this hotel group, Lifehouse. So, I went there for that, but I think a lot about hotels, and I think Palm Heights and Grand Cayman was one that changed how a lot of people, I mean, I went there in November, they paid for it, but a lot of it was like, I didn't even know this could exist in a hotel. I didn't know this attention to detail was something that was even thought about still today, because a lot of the newer hotels I go to, it's like sort of a white
box. It's
kind
of stripped down. Yeah, the experience is fully stripped down. Yeah.
And I think that the new currency of hospitality, Frog Club, just opened.
What?
It's from the same people as Horses in LA.
Oh, right. Yeah, I read about this. I read about it.
And they put stickers on your phone so you don't take photos.
Oh, wow.
So something I've been saying to a lot of people from the conversations that I've been picking up over the last few weeks is this phone at the door idea like privacy is currency and secret events and access and members clubs. So that's something that I've been thinking about a lot too.
The other business that I feel like for me mentally did a lot of work in shifting and making this like, oh, hotels and places you wouldn't necessarily think of to go was the Graduate Hotel Group. Mm-hmm. And just like the idea that you could open up a cool hotel in a college town and that there was an audience for that and just like demonstrating that existed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think hotels are exciting right now. I mean,
I think it's also the sort of the Airbnb exhaustion has catapulted
and
people
horror
back.
Stories. Like, I mean, horror may,
No, but I think Horror Stories is right. That's what
I've just been hearing so many. If you're shelling out the same amount that you would for a hotel and you're not getting something even close to that, it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people are a little tired of the Airbnbs and they'd rather stay in like a normal B&B. It's more bare bones, but it's still like there's someone at the desk or there's somebody who's going to be there to help move you through the trip.
I also think the other thing that's happened is that, especially over the pandemic, everybody put so much work into their homes. And so then it's like, if you're paying to stay somewhere that's not your home, ideally it's better than your home.
Well, this is a conversation we have all the time. Yeah. I so hate paying to stay somewhere that is shittier than where I live.
I wrote about that this week. I was like, I feel really great in my home.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love my takeout options. I love how I cook at home. Yeah. I've spent so much time.
I love my bedroom.
And we're lucky like to love our neighborhoods and to love our homes.
Absolutely.
But I feel the same way that even like when I'm finding myself saying no to more trips lately, and I'm sure it comes with age too. Yeah. Like we're getting older, it's less.
But I do think if you like your home, you're like, I don't want to leave it.
Totally.
You know?
Or if I am going to leave it, it should be for something special.
Or as nice.
And then the last thing that I'm fascinated by is the wedding and bachelorette party industry and the amount of cash that goes into those. Yes. Like,
do you know the app Batch?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I just reached out to their CEO because I'm doing a story about, I interviewed a ton of women about the amount that they've spent for bachelorette parties. None of the stories were good. All of these women were like, make it anonymous. I hate these people. My credit card bills, whatever.
I can't believe this is still happening because I felt like it peaked when we were going through our wedding stage of life.
In the like, hey, ladies era.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like Miami, Cabo. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop because now it's like the gift bags, the clubs.
Right. I mean, the welcome drinks.
The welcome drinks. The thing that you send to the people to invite them is like
the personalized
opening
straw
experience.
Hat.
Yeah. The personalized hats. All of these people come back and resent the bride.
Right.
And it was all really just done for the bride's Instagram. Mm-hmm. That means it's peaking and there needs to be a shift soon because that can't be sustainable.
It's so odd to me, but because it does seem like everybody resents it. So then who's driving, who's to perpetuate it?
Well,
if everybody resents
the bride.
It so much?
I think still people, and she, but that person is like, but I did this for all of you.
Right.
So you will, you will experience the horror for me.
Okay.
So now I'm hearing that if three friends are getting married the same year, they'll batch them into one trip.
Okay.
Oh, the batched batch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The batched batch. And now there's these services that you use that will help you plan it. You give them a budget and maybe they level set it. I'm hearing more like get a house upstate and just kind of like get a ton of wine and chill for a weekend. People are happier with that. But
that's what we did in my friend group, more or less. Is
that
just,
sounds so much
well, like adult sleepover energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm, you know, in my 30s, I don't need to like get on a table.
No.
Like,
no.
Yeah. I don't even think that would look good. Like, but yeah, that's another space that I'm very curious about.
That's super interesting. We have to get to your thingies.
All right, let's do it. Okay. I wrote them all down.
Okay, good.
Tell us
everything.
I'm kind of doing a wide list. Some of these people can buy. Some of them are mindsets that people need to embody.
This is what we like.
Okay, so I write this letter every day. Mm-hmm. And often it's a news roundup, but I would say twice a week there's something a little bit more thoughtful and written. So I've been going into the New York Times and New York Magazine archives. Both are digitized. Mm-hmm. You can go and see how people were writing about spa treatments in the 90s.
I saw a piece that you'd pulled from
or members clubs in the 80s with like CEO club when they first let women in. And it's so funny how much more attention to detail and the spaces people are in. Like I went in, I checked in, the woman's face changed when I said this as I was leaving. She asked me for my number. Just like you can just tell that there was no phone or thing to distract you while you were going through every minute. Mm-hmm. You can also tell these people had weeks and weeks and weeks to write a fucking story.
Like, right. It's not a Daily Mail bulleted.
No, it's like, not a 30-minute.
Here are the things you're trying to take away.
Yes, yeah. It's not a 30-minute Zoom with a subject, and you're supposed to leave with something that drives traffic.
A profile, like a full profile.
So I love the archives. Another big thing, I've been buying a lot of pickles and making my own hot sauce.
Wait,
what?
I was it the first part and the second part of that sentence were not what I expected to go together.
They're in the same category for me. Okay. So the hot sauce, you just buy a bunch of peppers at the farmer's market, get some garlic, get some herbs if you want, and then you blend it all with vinegar and water.
Okay.
You leave it on.
You don't have to cook it.
And salt. No, I'm sure there are recipes where you do, but for this one, I found it somewhere online. You leave it on your counter for 2 days and sort of let it ferment, and then you blend it again, and then you put it in your fridge and you have it forever.
Okay.
I'm not like Brad Leone from Bon Appetit status with my fermenting. I'm not with the thermometers and all that, but this worked really well for me.
And you like it. Does it taste fresher than the store-bought? Are you liking that you can emphasize certain...
It's like, mostly the process. Acidic? Like, okay. Hey, I made this. Yes. I have friends over. Do you want to try it?
Yes.
But it also is like you can tweak it and make it whatever peppers you're excited about. And I like seeing my friendly farmer's market guys in the summer and having something like last me through whatever. And then pickles, I've just been buying a ton. And I'm noticing all the Gen Z girlies are obsessed with pickles now.
Yes.
And there's all these pickle startups.
Ooh.
So I've been buying a lot of those and kind of like snacking on them throughout the day.
Is this a gut health thing?
Yeah,
Totally not. Like, truly, it's just to have salty snacks throughout the day.
But do you think for the Gen Z girlies, it's a gut health thing?
I don't. I think it's like
it's girl
skinny
dinner.
Snacks.
Yeah,
skinny snacks.
It's low cal.
Totally.
Yeah.
Lots of flavor.
Okay. Yeah. Because these things can't have any live probiotics in them. I can just tell. It's just
What are the pickle startups we should know about?
I think there's one called Hot Girl Pickles, which is like probably the worst phrase ever.
There's something offensive about it.
But then like Grillo's Pickles did a huge campaign last week with all of these influencers on my feed. Like hot girls that don't talk about pickles. Like, so there's something happening. It's definitely a skinny snack thing.
I got to pull us off course for 1 minute because there was one question that I had for the beginning of our conversation with you that I just, how important is scrolling your social feeds for your job?
As important as I want it to be. Like, okay. I just walked around outside and I picked, like, I took photos of so many things that will be perfect to write about in the newsletter tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw, you guys know the artist Zach Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
He has billboards up for his new music video with Matthew McConaughey.
Like, yes.
That's something that I can write about and have four sentences. I probably could have scrolled long enough on Instagram to find somebody doing that, but my letter gets better when I'm out in the world. Like,
I love to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm into, one of my things is neighborhood field trips. So, like, last week I went to Bergdorf Goodman just to check out the basement and the beauty situation that was going on there. Because I hadn't been there since college. Like, when's the last time you guys went there?
I went over, like, right before Christmas, kind of for this, just being like, I want to walk around and see what's happening here and see what the Schiaparelli boutique looks like. And just, like, what is the vibe?
The attention to detail down there, the fragrance brands down there, stuff I've never heard of. Even just the people watching.
It's
like,
it's an incredible
floor,
store.
All the gifts. People are buying furniture.
Watching. That's that top floor people watching. People buying like $5,000 paintings off the wall. And you're like,
the people shopping in the
department store.
Children's boutique there.
Oh, the people the best.
I want to know more.
The best. And that is the kind of report. And all the other stuff comes to the top of my feed anyway, whether it's through friends in a group chat who are like, look at this Kendall Jenner thing or... And then I also have my boyfriend who works in finance who's able to be like, you should probably talk about this tomorrow. Like, he can, like, throw me some other things. But I think what makes my letter special is the stuff that I'm probably picking up on from outside. Like, I was at San Andreas the other day. Mm-hmm. And with my check, they gave me a Gucci postcard. And everybody's table had a Gucci postcard with their check. And, like, that's a weird thing that's happening at restaurants. Yeah. That they're giving me a little ad with my... check. And that's something that I could only write about if I left my house and did something. You
that's
know?
Right.
Yeah. So neighborhood field trips are definitely one of my...
Great one.
Are there any other neighborhoods?
So Midtown is something that I study a lot. I did a Lower East Side pop-up shop letter right before Christmas because there were all these holiday pop-up shops.
Yep.
And middle of the day on a Tuesday, like, saw Leonardo DiCaprio walking down the street, like, saw somebody else. And I was like, okay, this is... New York City during the day is so weird sometimes and you need to like be around.
Yes.
I wrote about members clubs for my letter and then that turned into a magazine asking me to write a bigger piece for a summer issue, which you guys will see it soon. So I'm going to have to do a little bit of field trip for that.
Good.
Okay, good.
Good.
Yeah. But that's really fun. Like leaving your house during the day and putting your phone down and just observing. Fragrance, we kind of talked about, but that's something I'm really into right now. Poker. I play a lot of poker.
Right. Talk
it's
to
a lot
us
of
about
fun.
This.
So, first of all, my boyfriend taught me poker in the way that he knew that I would understand it, which was very romantic and sweet. Like, he understands how I think, mm-hmm. and he was able to teach me through that lens, not just like open a poker book and teach me.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was able to pick it up so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's turned into a really fun way to get different groups of 8 to 10 friends together, be together for a whole night, not have to go do something insane and spend a ton of money.
And not have to like host in like a dinner party way.
Everybody talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not host in a dinner party way. Everybody talks. Everybody like loves each other afterwards. You end up being in these group texts beforehand. Guys and girls can get just as excited about it as each other. It's so, poker is so, so fun. The one thing is like finding the right apartments.
I was going to say, you need a massive table, right?
Yeah. Or you need like a lot of chairs.
Okay.
And then there's people who don't play or get out and they hang out on the side. But playing poker has been really fun. And you also...
We need to go back. Can you come to poker night if you're not going to play?
Yeah, we allow people that don't play, but you're just kind of chilling on the couch or watching.
But does that get out of hand?
There were a few games last year where a few people's girlfriends didn't play. Mm-hmm. So like the girlfriends just hung out on the couch and it was totally fine.
Okay.
I'm sure at some point they should learn how to play so they can sit at the table. It's more fun.
Yeah.
And it's also funny because people start saying like, can I come to your next poker game?
Right.
You have to like shuffle people out.
You have a members club now. You have one.
Yeah. We have our own members club. But it's really, really fun. You can play wherever you go. I went to Maine with friends a few months ago. And like we had a few other friends that were an hour away in Maine. And we all got together to play poker because it was something for everyone to do.
Stop. How did your boyfriend teach you in a way that like spoke to you? Yeah. Can you explain
that? Like I just cared about learning from him. I've dated people before who are probably 10 times more experienced in poker. And I just didn't really care to learn from him. But Jake is my boyfriend's name, like really took the time to teach me. And he like went, I was playing a big game with a bunch of girls and he knew that it was going to be sort of high stakes because of these girls. And he played with me for an hour, like one-on-one, just doing all different hands, just going through it. I'm sure he could analyze each of you and like teach you in your accustomed way too. Customized way. But yeah, it's poker's really fun.
Do you remember, I feel like it was early aughts, poker had a really big cultural moment where it was like the World
Molly's
Series
game.
Of poker. Yes, Vegas. Are we looking at another one of those moments?
Got a few startup-y world, finance world people email me and be like, we should start a ladies poker game and we should invite 8 people and like, invite me. I don't want to plan it, but invite me and I'll play.
What are the financial stakes of the poker games you participate in?
We usually do a $50 buy-in.
Which means, okay, so everybody has to put in 50.
Everybody has to put in 50.
Okay.
And then if you want to play, like if you want to buy back in, it's another 50.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have interest in casino poker?
Yes, but I think that would really, I've been told that a lot of the things I do like would not fly in a casino. Like taking a really long time looking at my cards like too high. Like there are a lot of instances, a lot of the guys that we play with do play in casinos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of bachelor parties, I think Vegas is still like the hot
thing.
Yeah. And I would say usually 4 times game, they say like you'd be kicked off the table in Vegas if you did that.
Okay.
But I'd give it a shot. I don't love Vegas. I don't love AC. But I would do it for the bit.
Yeah, totally for the bit.
Like Macau, something different. Yeah.
I think Macau could be a good vibe for you.
Yeah.
I like that for you.
Yeah. Oh, and then my last one, which kind of goes with fragrance, is like, I really believe that your shower is the smallest, technically, room in your house. And you can really amplify it by bringing in really nice products in there.
Yes.
So I'm very into
Shower is a room.
Yeah. Shower is like this thing that you do every single day. Like, how can you make it luxurious, like, wonderful experience?
Right.
And we see like the shower head filters and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like getting really special. But yeah, I mean, I love the shower filters.
You're like, whatever.
I like don't, like I live in New York. The water is what it is. If it's not coming out like on my head, like I'm going to be drinking it at some point or
whatever. This is our water.
I shower at my gym sometimes. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I love really special soaps. I love like gifting soaps also. I love, you know.
I like to hear you're a soap person, Claire's body wash person. And this is a real point of contention.
Have you used the soft services, scrubby soap?
Yes. I have had an issue since I was a kid where when I use scrubby things like that in the shower, I itch like crazy.
And I had that a few times.
It's true of that thing, but it's also true of like a plastic loofah from Walgreens. I just get really itchy.
Yeah,
with
it's
that
a
kind
sensory
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I love soft surfaces. And I just started using the retinol cream.
The hand cream.
It's yes. It's
what is
lovely.
It called?
Plush.
Theraplush?
Theraplush. Yeah. It's lovely. I mean,
what
I used
smart
it for one
product.
Night. So
Such
smart.
A smart product.
Like, that's how I'm starting like, to be like, my hands, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need to put sunscreen on them.
I actually refuse to participate in hand vanity because I'm just like, I can't have another thing to worry about. But I was like, this is such a beautiful container that I will leave it on my
bedstand,
and I will be so happy to use it because I like using
well,
my
also
hand
a refillable thing, and I feel like finally we're at a refillable thing that I actually want to have out.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which I feel like it's taken a bit.
Agreed. Have you guys seen the Farah Hamidi lip gloss?
Yes.
That's another refillable thing I love.
It's beautiful.
Yes. I love it.
I've been very tempted by it like 9 times.
One for a few people for Christmas, and then when I was just in LA, I was like, we're doing it.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so those are my things.
Great things.
Love
Thank
it.
You. This was an outstanding thingies roundup.
What
Thank
a perfect
you.
Conversation.
That was really fun. You guys are great.
You were great. That's the show.
That's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially our wonderful producer, Olivia Mead. You can follow us on Instagram at athingor2hq. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingor2hq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingor2hq.com. And if you love our show, you'll also want to join our Geneva. Lots of good chatter happening there.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.